Come this December, millions of American workers will be eligible for overtime pay. That's because of a new policy finalized by the Labor Department last week. We'll get into the nitty-gritty of what this policy means in a moment. But first, let's talk about what overtime is. And you know, if there's a term we all say but may not really understand, it's time to break it down. Overtime pay is the extra money you get when you work more than 40 hours a week. But have you ever wondered how we came up with 40 hours as the standard work week? Not long ago, there was a viral post going around social media that said, unions didn't create the 8-hour day and the 40-hour work week. Henry Ford did. But like so many viral posts, that's not true.
Where'd you hear that?
The internet.
And you believed it?
Yeah. They can't put anything on the internet that isn't true.
Where'd you hear that?
The internet.
The first time we see mention of a mandated 8-hour workday in this country was just after the Civil War. Illinois passed a law that included a small number of workers, but that law wasn't really enforced. At the time, and for decades before that, it wasn't unusual for workers to put in 12, 14, even 16-hour days before they were allowed to go home. The issue of working hours became a national conversation in the late 1880s. It was, in fact, a union that pushed the issue, the Federation of Organized Trades and Labor Unions.
Well, there was a time before trade unions, when working conditions were dangerous, and when a day's toil was paid for with half a cabbage.
When the group couldn't get lawmakers to mandate the 8-hour workday, and they couldn't get businesses to agree to it, they started staging demonstrations. One protest in Chicago turned into a riot. In May of 1886, a peaceful march was disrupted when someone threw dynamite into the crowd. Dozens of people were injured, and at least 11 were killed, including a number of police officers. It's now known as the Haymarket Affair, and it's the reason people observe May Day, also known as International Workers' Day or Labor Day. May 1st is when the rest of the world celebrates Labor Day. America celebrates it in September, but that's another story. We're talking about working hours and overtime. By the time Henry Ford was desperately seeking more factory workers in 1914, the country had still not adopted the 8-hour workday as a standard. Ford made headlines and recruited a lot of people by promising they would only work 8 hours a day.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
But that did not translate into a 40-hour work week. Why? Because most Ford employees worked 6 days a week. In fact, most people worked on 6 days in the U.S. and picked up their pay packets at noon on Saturday.
I love these lazy Saturdays.
It's Wednesday, Homer.
Work!
Almost 25 years later, President Roosevelt signed the Fair Labor Standards Act into law. That law created the minimum wage. It also limited the work week and required that employees pay their workers at least time and a half for any hours exceeding the limit.
Except perhaps for the Social Security Act, it is the most far-reaching program, the most far-sighted program for the benefit of workers that has ever been adopted here or in any other country. Without question, it starts us towards a better standard of living and increases purchasing power to buy the products of farm and of factory.
By 1940, the 40-hour work week was the standard. And overtime, as I'm sure you've guessed, is anything that goes over that limit. But those rules were created to protect blue-collar people. So managers and administrators were exempt. So were some waiters and housekeepers who might work non-standard hours. According to the U.S. Department of Labor, more than 40% of American workers are considered exempt or not eligible for overtime. That includes everyone who makes more than about $24,000 a year. The Department of Labor has proposed making significant changes so that anyone making less than about $47,000 a year is eligible for overtime pay. That would increase the earnings of about 5 million workers.
Pretty good.
Yes, it is. It is
pretty good.
But this is just the basic history of overtime pay. For a more nuanced perspective, we need to consult an actual expert. Here to answer some common questions about the new Labor Department policy is Wall Street Journal reporter Melanie Trotman. She joins me from Washington, D.C. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, good morning.
So the first question is, will this actually happen? And I ask that because there is a presidential election occurring before this policy is meant to take place. What if Donald Trump is elected?
Well, the rule goes into effect December 1st, so it will happen.
Regardless of what president is in office?
Yes, it will go into effect. Any rule can be repealed in Congress. So what would happen in the months after that, I don't know. But the rule will go into effect on December 1st of this year.
Okay, here's a common question. What about teachers?
Teachers, there are a few professions that are just absolutely exempt from this regulation, and teachers are one of them.
And does that mean all teachers, including college professors?
It does. College professors, they are exempt from this regulation. They do not qualify for overtime pay, regardless of their salary, regardless of their circumstances.
And lawyers is another one. What are the other exempt professions?
Lawyers and also doctors.
Okay. So here, one of the very first questions that I saw, especially when journalists were listening to it, because journalists often work long hours, as you know,
yes,
is what if your office just expects you not to report those overtime hours? What is a worker to do then?
Well, employers are supposed to follow the law, and they are supposed to get an accurate account of the employee's time worked. And so if an employee has a grievance, employees can file grievances with the Labor Department. They could start with their HR department or go to a manager and discuss their issue. But if that didn't work, then, they can go to the government and complain.
Do we have an accurate count on how many people this will affect?
So it's supposed to affect, it will make 4.2 million Americans newly eligible for overtime pay. Now, the administration also expects that millions more will start getting overtime pay because it estimates that there are millions of people who are currently eligible but aren't getting the pay. And the reason is that there's a lot of confusion. It can be very confusing to determine who is and who isn't eligible for this pay because there's something called the duties test. And the duties test, it just means that you have certain duties that make you exempt from the overtime pay requirement, right? And so, but that test can be confusing. And the administration said by raising the threshold, sort of the cutoff point, right, at which people are automatically eligible for overtime. By doing that, it's going to make clear to all these people kind of in a gray, seemingly gray area that they too qualify for overtime pay.
Okay, so what is the purpose of this rule change? Is this basically the Obama administration trying to address rising income inequality?
Absolutely. Vice President Joe Biden was very clear with reporters when he spoke to us about this last week. He said this gets at the heart of a defining issue of our time, and that is expanding and strengthening the middle class. He said that, what has happened is that over time, now this reg was last updated in 2004, and so the current threshold or cutoff point is $23,660, right? That means anybody who, all hourly employees generally qualify for overtime pay.
Yeah.
But salaried workers who make less than that automatically qualify. But many who make more than that don't. And so what they did, first of all, they said that inflation had eroded that $23,660 level over time, right? It's been 12 years since this was updated. And so they're increasing it to about $47,000. And that's why they're doing it, so that more people will fall under that threshold automatically and qualify for overtime pay.
We got a tweet from T-Barf who says CPAs and accountants are generally exempt, but not bookkeepers. Some may say the purpose is to gut white-collar jobs and mobility, just like he, and I assume he means Obama, has for hourly jobs. What do you make of that comment?
Well, I mean, he is not alone in that point of view. The business community, a lot of employers, a lot of business trade groups have the same opinion. No one said that the thresholds shouldn't be increased. Everyone said, you know, it's time to increase it. But they did say this is too high. They think the level's too high, the 47,000 level. They also feel that it's going to have some negative effects on the economy. Employers, I've talked to employers that say they might slow hiring. They're going to reduce workers' hours. They might have to cut pay and bonuses and benefits to comply with this rule.
Now, Melanie, this is what confuses me, honestly confuses me, because CEO pay has risen almost 1,000% since 1978. That's almost double the stock market growth, and that's 90 times faster than pay for average worker. So while businesses are saying we can't afford this, why don't they just reduce CEO pay, which would also affect income inequality?
Yeah, well, and there you have, that is the point of the left, you know, unions and worker advocacy groups. So, you know, the businesses that I'm hearing from most are actually smaller businesses.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't really have CEOs necessarily. And they're saying, look, I'm a small business owner. I'm not rich. I try to treat my workers well. I'm going to follow the law, but that means that I'm going to restrict overtime at my Burger King franchise restaurant. My people, they're not gonna be able to work more than 40 hours a week. Or I'm gonna hire more part-time workers. I'm gonna scale back the hours of the workers I have. Or I'm not gonna hire as many people. I'm just gonna make do with what I have. And you know, there's a concern too that like managers might have to take on more work, or part-time workers might have
since
to take on.
Since they are still exempt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's
that is Wall Street Journal reporter Melanie Trotman. Melanie, thank you.
Thank you for having me.